episode of Short Story Hunters. Nice of you all to join me here in the Lit Lounge, and once again here with... Wait for it. I'm here with... Sorry, mate, I'm going to have to do this to you. I'm here with... Here's Johnny!
Why, hello there. I turn up like a bad penny every week, and I'm delighted to be here again.
As long as you don't bring an axe. To no, cut that invisible cake.
Or cut the door down. Yeah. I'm going to see my face appearing through there.
Who's at home?
We want to be in here. Anyway, what are we going to do today?
Three more stories, I think, and we're going to look at a theme of revisiting childhood, aren't we? We're going to look at our old roots.
Childhood houses or childhood homes, actually. Have you got a childhood home that you sort of feel fond of, or are you looking back, or you'd like to go and visit?
Yes, I do, actually. Funnily enough, I do... From time to time, sounds a bit creepy, a bit stalkery, but from time to time I go on Google Earth and look at the old family homestead, drive by and think, ah, there was a young me running about out there, doing things on that field, playing football, so on. Yeah, so I do.
Yeah, I did. I looked at my granddad's house not long ago and I thought, oh God, he would turn around in his grave if he saw the garden. He was a great gardener. He loved his roses. And I looked on Google Earth and the front of his house is just completely overgrown. It's a real shame if you sort of see that.
It is a shame, isn't it? Because, you know, people put so much love and care into it. And then, of course, the house changes hands and all of a sudden, you know, everything goes and all that hard work down the drain.
And talking of washing things down the drain, anything you've ever sort of kind of tried to hide in a childhood home or under floorboards or hide in the garden, dig away?
No comment.
No comment? Dead bodies or something, is it?
You haven't been watching Line of Duty then, have you?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, that's very common when you're getting questioned about things that might incriminate you. No comment.
Oh, I'm intrigued now what you're trying to hide. Where did you used to live as a child?
I used to take
up the lawn.
Back in Ireland. I can't divulge the address, though.
Oh, shame. You don't know where the bodies are buried now.
I do. I mean, sorry, what a giveaway. No, I don't either.
Shall we do the stories then, shall we?
I think we shall.
And first we have a sort of a sci-fi story about Jacob, who's the creator of a sculpture, which is actually a machine that has the ability to transform anyone who goes inside. And our second story is about a misunderstanding about some youngsters who think of a drunken idea, but it all turns very sour. And the third one is about a man who is on his way to the airport and he takes a little detour to his childhood home, and the house is very run down and neglected, and he sees a little occupant on the front lawn. So let's do J.A. Babos first, shall we?
And he grew up in Portugal, but now lives in tropical Australia with his family, with whom he fishes and dives and pesters with his stories. He writes science fiction, inspired by his background in geology and human evolution.
Sculpture by J.A. Babo. He pulled up at the curb outside his childhood house. Nothing had changed after all these years. The sculpture was still there on the front lawn, mocking him, reminding him of where it all went so very, very wrong. There was no security system, no guards, no gate protecting the first sculpture, the origin of the greatest amassing of wealth in human history. Nobody knew it as the first. When the sculptures hit the market, this house was one of the many foster homes he had passed through. The house itself had been a stage of the only happy time of his younger years. Her house, his beloved foster sister's house, discreetly bought several decades ago, painted new, well-preserved, lawn mowed regularly. The only discordant note was on the front lawn, the rusting, ugly metal sculpture Jacob now stood in front of. He snapped open the hidden keypad. 10:06:20:35, her birthday. The rusted panels screeched as they were forced to move open. Jacob sunk to his knees, hands over his ears as if refusing to hear the truth. He was a broken, crying old man. He stepped into the sculpture. The familiar interface buzzed and lit up as Jacob sat down in the inner sanctum of the machine. He spared the slightest smile of pride at his creation's longevity. His first sculpture had been a mockingbird. Her wish, his gift. He swiped the landscape program into action. The transition began to spread slowly, and the landscape changed from dominant green to a multitude of light blues, purples, electrifying reds, and hot yellows. Next came the beak, then the vocal cords, the lightness deep in his bones. The feathers rustled with the breeze. He could feel them in his skin. He was man only in reason, all bird otherwise. And he took to the sky. He felt the wind's currents, the ups, twirls, cones, funnels, and the rotating cells propelling him forward, higher, faster. He sang with the voice of a bird, of freedom and happiness. Humans had always tried to escape the limitations of their bodies. Now they could be any other animal, and nobody wanted to be human anymore. Then he stopped beating his wings, gliding effortlessly. As only the creator of the sculpture could, he forced a pocket of his mind to separate from his bird body. With immense effort, and not little pain, he moved his human arm. An alarm harmed his sensitive bird ears, but his instinct to cover them lacked the hands to do so. He immersed himself in the sculpture experience, fully a bird again. The world was addicted to his sculptures, at the cost of his foster sister. She had died inside that very one before Jacob had created a safety protocol. His crime hidden behind a weak heart, his wealth built on her corpse. He folded his wings and plunged to his death.
Oh, poor Jacob, plunging to his death. Do you think he landed on your lawn, you know, that childhood lawn where you hid bodies?
Nobody landed on my lawn, got it? Nobody.
Nobody. You know nothing.
Definitely. And I'm going to get my lawyers onto you if you don't stop hassling me about this.
Yeah, well, my lawyers are bigger than your lawyers, you know.
Says you. Will you see?
The war is on.
Do you know, I think we better move on before the show falls apart, you know, and your people call my people and we stop working with each other.
That'll never happen.
All right, fair enough. What's next?
And shall we do our next story then?
Yep, let's crack on.
That one is by Stacey, and she writes urban fantasy, and she's currently working on her first Appalachian urban fantasy novel for Improbable Press. And this one is called Appeals.
Appeals by Stacey No. He pulled up at the curb of his childhood house, but stayed in the car and sighed. Nothing had changed after all these years. The gnome was still there on the front lawn mocking him, reminding him of where it had all gone so very, very wrong. Lloyd could see the chip in the gnome's red hat from when Freddy had thrown it at him, but had struck the cement divider of the driveway instead. A misunderstanding had led to that point. Lloyd had wanted to surprise Freddy with the app they had brainstormed together, a drunken idea that actually held water. Lloyd had managed to make it happen with a few sober changes. A ridiculous app. A useless app. Freddy would find it hilarious. Well, high school kids have a funny way of twisting things. Lloyd had asked two people not to tell Freddy. "I want to surprise him," he said. But soon, word had got round that Lloyd had gone behind Freddy's back, and by the time Freddy had heard, the story had grown exponentially. "How could you?" Freddy had screamed over the gnome. "You stole my idea." "It wasn't just your idea," Lloyd had yelled back. "It was our idea." "I'm not selling out, going behind your back, claiming it's mine," Freddy had hollered, fists clenched and red-faced. "Who's selling out?" Lloyd was confused, but Freddy's anger was contagious. "I guess you have a price tag now. I hope you choke on the money." Then Freddy had thrown the gnome and stalked back to his house. They had spent the rest of the summer avoiding each other, had gone to college in the fall and easily disappeared from each other's lives. At the five-year reunion, Lloyd had finally managed to put the pieces together. Lydia had told Marley that Lloyd had been making the app to surprise Freddy. Marley had told Dakota that Lloyd had said to keep it a secret. Dakota had told Stephanie that Lloyd had been keeping the app from Freddy. Stephanie had told John that Lloyd had sold the idea and not to tell Freddy. At the reunion, Lloyd had finally cornered Freddy. "I didn't steal your idea, and I didn't sell it to anyone. No one would have bought it anyway. It was dumb." Freddy had looked angry at first, firing back, "Obviously you'll never make $1 million with it," as he had eyed Lloyd's plain clothes, his beater parked outside. "No," Lloyd had agreed, "but I've looked into it. There aren't any apps out there like it, and now I think there may be an audience for it." So here he was, pulled up at the curb, sitting in his car in the front of his parents' house. He waved as Freddy came out to his own front door. Lloyd got out of his nearly new car and admired the front yard decorations. Displayed behind the gnome was a giant yard sign reading, "Congratulations, boys. Happy 1 year app anniversary."
And that was Appeals by Stacey No.
And speaking of appeals, we'd like to make an appeal of our own. Do you see what I did there?
Ha ha.
We're on all social media platforms, and you might like to follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at thetopia.hunters. You'll also find us on Instagram under Short Story Hunters with an underscore between the short and the story. You can also find the show on all main podcast platforms like Apple and Spotify. And if you do visit us, we've got plenty of shows up there now. Please do listen to them. And if you like them, give us plenty of likes and stars, because it'll help get the word out there and let writers' stories be heard by a wider audience.
Lovely. Let's do the next story then, shall we? And this one is by Steve. And what do we know about Steve?
He's a writer from New Jersey. He's had short stories published in magazines such as Mad Hatter's Review and Sein und den Verden, and is currently seeking representation for a spy novel. And Steve's a Latopian, and his current novel is a great spy thriller set in wartime France, all about the French resistance and the Gestapo.
Just don't mention the war.
I mentioned it once.
You might get away with it, with cake.
I hope so.
The cake war.
Coming next week on Short Story Hunters.
The cake wars.
Right, here we go with Steve's story.
The Layover by Steve Y. He pulled up at the curb of his childhood home. Nothing had changed after all these years. The sculpture was still there on the front lawn, mocking him, reminding him of where it all went so very wrong. His phone buzzed, a reminder that his flight would leave in about an hour. He should really set off about now. Traffic could be unpredictable, but... He got out of the car and crossed the street, dodging a delivery truck, and stood before the low chain-link fence flicked with rust. Weeds lined the short cobblestone path leading to the house in the middle of a brown, rectangular lawn. How absurdly small it seemed to him. Like a glorified playpen. Drab, sun-bleached, dingy little facade. He blinked in the hot sun, uncertain, having wandered here in a daze, pressed on perhaps by nothing but mindless routines of habit, long dormant, suddenly activated. He merely stood here stupidly. The sound of the glass shattering broke the noonday stillness. The long grass swayed in the breeze indifferently. Then the screams, coming from within the little house, began. The words were indistinct, but the gist of it was there was a man and a woman, and from the sounds of things, things weren't good. A little girl stood in the yard, small and dark. "Hello," she said. He startled. She was clutching a doll under one arm, a dirty, smudged little doll. The girl was perched on one leg, her other leg curled around with the tip of a black buckled shoe touching the ankle of her other foot, a precarious position that made her seem like she would tip over at any moment. "Hello, young lady." "Shh," the girl said with a little finger to her lips. She stole a look back at the house from which the screaming hadn't stopped even for a moment. Looking back at him, she held up her doll to his face and whispered, "Emily likes you. Can you take her?" He looked at the girl, at the doll, at the house, and put his finger to his chest questioningly. The girl nodded vehemently. "She doesn't like it here. She wants to run away, far, far away." "To where?" he said. "Anywhere. I can't.
can't go with her. I have to stay here.
She still held out the doll from her chest with both hands. She hadn't blinked once, not the whole time she had spoken to him. The insistence of those two eyes got to him. He took the doll from her and said, I have to go now. But the girl said nothing, only looking at him silently. Her eyes followed him as he walked to the car, as he pulled into the street. She was still as a statue.
And that was The Layover by Steve Y. And you know, with that, we've come to the end of another show. That's show 7.
You can't count to 7, can you?
I can count to 7. I've got I've got 5 toes and I'm using 2 fingers at the moment.
But I still don't know what you've buried in your lawn.
No, nobody will. It's a secret. It's never going to be divulged.
It'll die with you.
It will, probably will.
And we need to end this show, don't we?
We do.
It's Hawaiian shirt man and his picture that he's hanging up.
Yeah, he's standing back admiring it now. I haven't the heart to tell him it's lopsided.
Do you think he painted that himself?
That looks to be the product of a tortured mind if ever I've seen one.
Splats of things.
Jackson Pollock's. And that's not rhyming slang either.
We better go before we start rhyming something with that one.
Here comes the music.
Well, see you next week.
See you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.